Thank you. Let's stand up and worship the Lord. Happy Easter. Son of God, Son of Man, His life poured out for all. See His hands, see His scars, His love can't be denied. Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood He shed delivers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. A love so great, the cross of Christ. Every debt, all we owe, He bears it as His own. Brought to life, we are free to live in Christ alone. Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood He shed delivers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. A love so great, the cross of Christ.
See the Lamb of God, see the Father's love. To Jesus we owe, He paid it all.
See the Lamb of God, see the Father's love. All to Jesus we owe, He paid it all. All to Jesus we owe, He paid it all. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood He shed delivers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. A love so great, the cross of Christ. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood He shed delivers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. A love so great, the cross of
Easter. He's alive. Amen.
We stand and lift up our hands. Down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we see everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he, and together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing. Everyone sing. Yeah. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. Because he lives, I can face
God, pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving, you are high and worthy, all of my praise for this glorious grace. God, I'm longing to see you in your presence. All darkness will fade. Shine your glory, let glory surround. I'm longing to see you now. God, pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace.
God, as we continue to worship you on this Resurrection Easter Sunday morning, we recognize that we, as we should every time we come into your presence, the great gift that you've given to us in your life. And that God, that as we recognize that, we thank you for the many gifts that you've given to us in just our world today and for the blessings that we have. And at this time, God, we continue to worship you in song, but also in spirit as we now go ahead and God, just give back a little portion to you to meet the needs that you've called this church and your people to meet. For that, we give you praise. And God, just may the resurrected Lord just revive in our hearts again that this is not just a holiday, but it's an experience each and every day of the risen Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he.
The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day.
Oh, glorious day.
Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he.
The hand that healed nations stretched on a tree and took the nails for me.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day.
Oh, glorious day.
One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. There he arose over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord, forevermore.
Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again.
Rising again.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Glorious day. The trumpet will sound, glory is coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Glorious day. Oh, glorious day.
Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we do have our Haven Kids Sunday School. So if there's any children who want to head to that, please feel free to go ahead. And the rest of you, big kids, just say Happy Easter to those around you. To the early risers. There you are right there. You're the ones who are up early. Welcome. If you're visiting today, welcome. We're glad that you are here with us on this Resurrection Easter Sunday morning. Isn't it hard to believe we are already here? Aren't we glad that it's spring and almost summer? Anybody good? So that's great. Today, Parish Foundation will have a dinner. Their dinner we will be serving today. If you'd like to help, there's still maybe some opportunities to help there. Please take a look at several of the other announcements that we have in here. We do have there's information as well for the Haiti mission trip. So if you're still thinking about going, there is information about that. Please pray about that, and we'd love to have others go on that trip as well. Christmas in April, I believe there are some clipboards. I think they're in the back. They will be making their way around. So if you're interested in helping with that, Keith, who's up here playing bass, will also have some more information regarding Christmas in April. The National Day of Prayer has an insert here. Mark your calendar. May the 2nd, that's right around the corner. May the 2nd is right around the corner. And you can see the theme is love one another. So we want you to do something that Jesus said to do, right? Love one another. Men's group. I know I'm going to come back to another one, but men's group, there is a men's group dinner get-together, and you can see it'll be at Jim Forsman's home on Tuesday night, April 23rd at 6:30. Food will be provided, and you can contact Jake or Jim for other information if you would like to see that. Also, you can see there's other information here about the, right here, where did I miss it? I saw it. Did I miss it out? Did I get them all? Am I good? All right, I guess I got them all. Okay. I do have this thing in here. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in the message today, but I want you to hold on to this. This is we're going to be collecting these after the message. We are doing a yearly survey, so you get to be part of that because we want to hear exactly what's going on in your mind and in your heart as well. Okay? Our prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests to lift up? I do want to lift up Dan McCoy. Many of you may know Danny or Dan McCoy. Danny was diagnosed yesterday with stage 4 stomach cancer. And so Danny is 54, I believe, 52 years old. And so thank you, Robin. And so we want to, many of you know Danny and the family. Please continue to lift them in your prayers as well. Okay, so Mike Stecker has asked for the prayers for the family of Mike A. Smith, who passed away this week at age 62 of cancer. I'm not Judah. Judah wants another room because he could hear dance lessons, so I don't know. It's a prayer. So, we want to pray for it. He wants a new room. We'll let him pray for a new middle school room, not in my house. One big prayer right back there. I see little Sophia somewhere back there. She has had some surgeries and other stuff, and thankfully Dave and Terry are not sitting apart from each other because they don't like each other now, but they're sitting apart from each other because they have two wonderful children there, and they're not in the hospital, and they're here. So praise God for that. So we are excited about those things. Okay, and again, I will touch on this when we get further in the service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we recognize that in this room, God, there are many needs, many prayers, many concerns. But Lord, today is a day where we stop and we say, hey, this is what makes it all happen. This is what gives our faith power. This is what changes us from everybody else. It changes us from every other faith, is the fact that our God is not dead, but he's alive. And for that, God, it changes the whole world. Yet sadly, in the midst of our world today, God, we recognize that there's people who are more concerned about bunnies and peeps and not about you. And not about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, we are reminded of that last song we sang, Glorious Day, that one day the trumpet will sound and you will return. And as the scripture tells us, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, God, here we are today on this day that we have on our calendar. But we pray that you will be the Lord of our lives in each and every situation. For those who are having horrible news about illness and terminal illness and sickness and cancer and death and just all kinds of frustrations and all kinds of other kinds of things that go on, God, we know that you have the answer to all things. And that through you, you conquered sin and death. And you said, I am alive forevermore, and whoever believes in me should never die. And so, God, we claim that here today, that you are both the Lord of the living and the dead. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. So, God, this rest of this service and day is dedicated to you. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Help us, God, to put away all those things that are struggles for us. Help us put away all those divisions, all those areas of unforgiveness. And God, let us just focus on you on this day, where you brought all things together in your life, your suffering, your death, your burial, and your resurrection. You are, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scriptures. Our first is Romans 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. This is the word of the Lord.
My ruins, resurrected. God, this is the end.
You can't tell me you can make the dead in me come back to life.
Everything turns to ashes, but without the hope of revival.
Imagine living with faith in God. I can't. Get back on my feet. I stumble and fall, but I am too weak to make it on my own.
So my only option is surrender.
I throw my hands in the air. I give up. I ruin everything I touch.
It's foolish to think that God can restore my life.
Wait. God can restore my life. It's foolish to think that I ruin everything I touch. I give up. I throw my hands in the air. Surrender is my only option.
I'm too weak to make it on my own, so I stumble and fall, but get back on my feet with faith in God.
I can't imagine living without the hope of revival.
Everything turns to ashes, but you can make the dead in me come back to life.
You can't tell me this is the end. God resurrected my ruins.
Big amen to that, right? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that cool? So, all right. Happy Easter, everyone. Used to be a lady that I served at a church in Lower Delaware. Her name was Bunny, and every year I'd say, Happy Easter, Bunny. She said, I've heard that for 60 years, Jack. I said, well, hey, first time I've ever said it. All right. So I'm going to draw your attention. I want you to just kind of look at something, and I've got to pull out my glasses if you're like me, all right? And if you look here, it says in 2019 annual survey, Easter survey, and you say, wait a second, we've never done this before. This is going to be annual from now on because I like it. We have a group of people, and there's a couple things that I have written down here. And whether this is your first time here or you're a regular, I want to hear what you have to say, because we not only care about the people who are regulars here, but we care about the community around us and everybody who's here and who also may pay attention. And if you're listening online, you can go ahead, and if you're on Facebook Live or something, go ahead and post these. There's two questions that we're looking for answers to. The first one is, I'd like to hear a message on what the Bible says about. Now, I have several ideas there, but really, I'd hope to not use any of them. I'd love if somebody went ahead and said other and filled in other. So what would you like to hear a message about? And we're going to do a message series in the fall, and we're going to utilize these ideas, some of these top ideas, as part of the message series. Sound like a good idea? And we did that several years ago from just people's mentioning things to me. But I thought, hey, it's time again. We're going to go ahead and kick that back in. And the second question, if you can't read that, I'll share with you some. What heaven will be like, sharing my faith, becoming a leader, overcoming addiction, forgiving others. Nobody wants that one, right? Getting out of a spiritual rut, raising kids in today's culture and world, discovering God's plan for my life. How about this? Dealing with difficult people, all right? Dealing with difficult people, surviving the worst moments of my life, handling stress, how to pray, the Holy Spirit, and other. Okay, so I really want you to go ahead and do that. The second question that's listed here is, I'm interested in hearing more about these themes: burnout, family, finances, death, miracles, forgiveness, my identity, injustice, hope, time, money, and other. These are some things that we can also maybe be ready and gear some of our small group studies for. As a matter of fact, in a couple weeks, we're going to be having a church-wide study once again, and it's about happiness. How many of you want to be happy in life? How many don't ever think you're going to be happy? Melinda, I believe you have a slide up there. Can you pop that up there so we can show everyone? Got a little smiley yellow slide. We got it there? It's coming up here. Sometimes she'll get it up there. But there you go. What makes you happy? Okay, I'll give you a hint. Week one, nothing. All right, so that's what we're going to start with. We're going to start with that. It's a series that has been out, and so it's going to be a really, really great series that we're going to go ahead. We will have small group studies. It is also on Right Now Media, and if you're not registered with Right Now Media, please let us know. We want to get you on that. That's our gift from the church, so you can do many small group studies. But we're excited about just getting people together because that's what we really want, right? Don't you want to be happy? Who wants to be happy? How many know some people who say they want to be happy, but they're pretty miserable in life? All right, good. So you might say, hey, why don't you join the study with me, okay, and see what happens there, all right? So we have that. And then there's a couple other things that I'm going to talk more about. On the back of it, or the front of it, whichever way you're looking, is the response card, and it has your name. It has other kinds of things there, your date of birth, first-time guest, or to update your information. We'd love for you to update your information if you're already on there. Again, we promise you won't be on a mailing list that you don't want to be on. We definitely want to make sure that happens, that you don't have that. And if you want to put a prayer request at the bottom, for instance, if you really want that prayer request to be private, you can just rip that off and drop it in the plate. We're going to go ahead and pass a basket at the end of church today, or we're going to have them at the doors as you're walking out, so you can put that in there. And so if you just would rather have the prayer request, that's fine. But we also want to give you the opportunity to go ahead and put some of these down, and we'll touch base on those bottom letters at the end of the message. Okay, everybody good? Easter Bunny come see anyone? All right, take that as a no. Okay, so here we go. So here we are on Easter, Easter Sunday. And we are going to talk about the series, the theme, 3 Days Ruined. 3 Days Ruined. And there's some things I wanted to share with you about this. I want to share with you, first of all, what I think is one of the coolest scriptures when it comes to Easter or the resurrection. And it comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 11 from the New Living Translation. And it says this: the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. What does that mean? That means that spirit, that power, that energy, that thing that raised Jesus from the dead is not just made for a one-day holiday that we can celebrate. It wasn't just made at one time, but it lives within all who believe in Jesus, you and me. lives in you, not just to celebrate today, but each and every day. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies also by this same Spirit living within you. And so what are we talking about? God, Easter like kicked off everything. That God likes to take dead things and make them alive. And some of the reactions today, I'm wondering whether he really needs to make some more alive, right? You're at check the pulse of the person next to you today, all right? So what we see is, I want to tell you, God never intended for a single celebration of Easter. God never intended that. God, it's worth celebrating. Don't get me wrong. It really is. But God wants us to have a continual Easter power, that life-giving Easter power in your dead things in your life. And so today we're going to talk about some of these dead things in our lives. You don't just have to celebrate Easter. I believe what God wants is God wants us to live Easter out in each area of our lives. And so what we're looking here is basically this. Let me say it this way. The resurrection power of Jesus gives you the power to close the gap between the life that you are living and the life you could live. I want to say that again because that's a big mouthful and you guys got to get a lot of blanks filled in there, okay? So the resurrection of Jesus, what it does, it gives you the power to close the gap between the life you are currently living and the life you could live. You may say, what are you talking about? Where are you going with us today? Now, I know that some may be haunted by the fact that you may look at your life, and today in Easter, you may look at areas of your life throughout this Holy Week and say, my gosh, my life should be different. My life should be different. And many of you may have tried to change your life. You may have tried practices and put things in action, like, I'm going to change my behavior. I'm going to change the way I talk. I'm going to change the way I react. And you've tried, and you may not have been very successful. Anybody with me there? Because often when we try that by our own nature and we leave God out, it's not done under resurrection power. It's done basically a walking corpse that's pretty much trying to revive these things. You see, like, the church of my dreams has always been a place where people would come to experience something different, and they really wanted to have a vibrant journey, spiritual journey with God. Hey, the name Haven came about as a safe place where people could do that, and that was the hope and has been the hope. You see, throughout the Bible and throughout Scripture, it is one big series after another of people having a spiritual journey with God time and time again. And I see this process of development, that things don't just happen. Like, for instance, if you look at Moses, we kind of look at a couple chapters and think, man, this guy just turned it around right away. But by the time God called him, his life had already been, he had already had 80 years in. That means I still got a couple more years, right? Anybody with me here? Saying that God can still use you with a couple more? So we saw that he shifted and changed. What about the disciples? We look at, we call him St. Peter. Have you read the story about that sucker? He was a little bad, wasn't he? Have you read about all the disciples? They were not a good bunch of guys most of the time, were they? Remember Thomas, who when Lazarus was dead, and Jesus said, oh, he's not dead. He's just sleeping. Somebody said, well, let's let him sleep. He'll get well. He said, no, he's dead. And Thomas said, oh, great. Let's go too, so we can die. You know what we're missing there? Thomas' name, his name means the twin. And many scholars believe that he looked like Jesus. So if people want to kill Jesus, and you're hanging around with him, how many of you are excited about going and hanging out where people are trying to kill you? So Thomas says in this moment, oh, great, let's go so I can die too. They're going to mistake me for you, right? That's real. That's not somebody stained glass. That's not somebody who's perfect. But when we see the process of his life, yes, he doubted after the resurrection, but he became one of the greatest missionaries that ever happened and died a martyr's death for his faith. So in prepping for the Easter services, I came up with a question that I never really asked myself, and it's simply this. Why 3 days? You ever wonder,
Why 3 days? If the whole deal was so that Jesus would suffer and die, why couldn't he just died on the cross? They took him down. He said, psych, just joking. Why did he have to be buried in the tomb? Why did he have to wait and then 3 days later pop out? Isn't that an interesting question? And so what I want to tell you is that there's a gap, a three-day gap there, because the answer is there is a process of something that God wants to teach us, I truly believe. Because on Friday, it was the day of death. On Saturday, it was a burial. And on Sunday, it was the resurrection. You see, there's steps, and I believe what God's trying to tell us is there are steps and processes in our spiritual journey. We don't just get there. Even Jesus, through his resurrection, took a process to get there. And I believe he's showing us what can happen in our lives. And so let's look at 1 Peter, which was read to us today. Let's look at 1 Peter once again, because God is inviting you into a journey with him. God has been inviting you into a journey from the dawn of time and through Jesus. And this day that we celebrate, he's asking you to come into a powerful journey. So he says, this is the kind of life that you've been invited to. Here it is. You want to know what he's inviting you to? The kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done. Remember our series that we just completed? Isn't this very similar to that verse in Hebrews? Watch him. He went, put up with everything, and he made it. Remember that verse? Very similar here. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done. And then I love this section here. And also, how to do it step by step. How many of you like step-by-step instructions? How many love YouTube that when you can't do anything, it gives you step-by-step instructions? Wouldn't it be great if God had a YouTube channel and he just said, here's your step-by-step instructions, Jack. Okay, you're frustrated. Step-by-step. Here you go. Wouldn't that be great? It is. It's called the Bible, okay? So what we have, he's given us this step-by-step in the resurrection. He's given us Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And these days teach us something very important that we need to do. So let's look at Friday. I don't think any of us have a problem with knowing that Friday is the day of pain. It was the day where Jesus was captured, betrayed, captured, beaten, flogged within an inch of his life. He had to carry a cross. He was nailed to that cross. He suffered. He was pierced in his side. And you know what's interesting? Jesus could have picked any time in history to pay for our sins. Any time. Don't you find it fascinating that he chose what most scholars believe is the worst, most ruthless time for capital punishment in all of history? Now, in some states, he wouldn't even gotten capital punishment. But if he did, it would have been lethal injection. He suffered the worst, one of the worst ever forms of capital punishment that we ever see today. And why did he do that? I believe because he experienced an extreme day of pain so that he could understand the days of pain that you go through. You see, the truth is that many of you may have come into this room today and you got your new Easter shirts on and you got your Easter vest and you got your Easter smile on and you're all set and you probably stole some candy that you probably shouldn't have ate and all that kind of stuff and you're feeling good about the ham or whatever you're cooking later, right? And then all of a sudden, if you really stop and wonder, you're in the midst of your life right now and you're experiencing some incredible pain that exists in your life. So the word that I want to give to you for Friday is battling. I think some of us are battling something in our lives. You're battling pain, and there's several types of pain I want to touch on very quickly. Number one could be physical pain. There are some people that just deal with physical pain day in, day out. Backs, and we've heard cancer, we've heard all kinds of things. That people are just dealing with chronic pain day in and day out. And Jesus and you can relate to that because of Friday, because of physical pain. We know he went through physical pain. And then there's the emotional pain. Some of us may have come into this room with emotional pain, that we have a nature of emotional pain. And what we kind of skim over in the scripture is that it says that Jesus was despised and rejected. Even before he got to the cross, he was despised and rejected. And maybe it was because he was poor. Or maybe it was because, whether we like to give it our flavor or not, he was born to an unwed mother. Maybe these are the things that he was despised about. Remember, he was from Nazareth and nothing good came from there. He was even, you imagine the emotional struggle that he dealt with, that one of his very own, Judas, came and betrayed him with a kiss. And then all the others scattered and left him alone. Maybe that's what's going on in your life. Maybe people have left you. Maybe people have left you brokenhearted, and you're dealing with that emotional pain, but you're putting on the game face today as you walk in the church. You think that Jesus was probably betrayed and maybe had depression a little bit, experiencing the loss and the emotion that he had? And then he had relational pain. Relational pain. He was tempted, it says, by all points. And, you know, I've heard somebody once say, yeah, but he wasn't married, right? He didn't understand the pain of marriage, right? But guess what? He was. He was married to the church. And you know what? As I read and as I understand the church, he also understands what it's like for his bride to be unfaithful to him. So he understands a pain that some of you may be able to experience in this very room. You see, the other thing that we got to recognize is Jesus' family. They were a little bit crazy. Anybody got a crazy family? Anybody got some of them coming over? Anybody sitting next to a couple of them right now? Think about it. When Jesus' family was not on board for most of the time, right? Jesus is preaching and teaching, and they're like, he's crazy. Yeah, we remember him around the house, and he's just been wandering. That's crazy, Jesus. They didn't believe in him. They're like, what? Jesus, come on. Oh, my gosh. It wasn't until after the resurrection that his brother believed. His whole life, much of his family thought he was absolutely crazy. They called him crazy. So why all this pain? Why all this, Jack? Because some of you are living in the Friday of your life. Some of you are living every day as it's Friday, the day of pain. And so Romans chapter 8 gives us a lesson in that. And it says this, and we know that God causes everything to work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In other words, here it is again, what I shared the other week. There is purpose in your pain. God will bring purpose in your pain. You see, here we are 11 years later, believe it or not, in Haven Church. And something that I've only shared a little bit is what brought that about. Those years from 2006, 2005, six, the end of 2005, 2006, and 2007 were some of the most gut-wrenching, pain-filled years of my life, to the point that I was ready to completely leave ministry and be done. I was lost and I was hurt. And I was broken, and I was emotionally drained. I was existing, leading ministry, but yet not being able to be around or take care of my family and be with them, and had a six-month-old at the time. I was putting on the game face during the day and sleeping on an air mattress the night before preaching with my family in an office. It took so much of every bit of energy that I had to even care anymore. And then God began to change and do some things and began to show me some purpose. Because what I learned during those 2 years was simply this: there is no pain that his purpose cannot restore. There's no pain that his purpose can restore. Now, many of you may not be in the midst of Friday. You may be in Saturday. You may be in Saturday, and I'm going to call Saturday the day of confusion. Anybody got some confusion in your life? You see, we never see in Scripture that the disciples go ahead and gather on Saturday and go, one more day, it's going to be Easter. One more day, oh, happy Easter, one more day. No, they had no clue. Even though Jesus told them, they did not know about it. They were confused. Wasn't he supposed to set up Israel? Wasn't he supposed to do this? Even though Jesus told them, they were confused. They were confused. And even some of them got so depressed they went back to their old habits. Oh, that'll preach a whole sermon, won't it? That when we're confused about where God is, we go back to our old habits. We go back to our careers. We go back to our old gang. We go back to our old practices so that we can get some comfort in those things because we're not quite sure what God is doing. You see, the word for this day of confusion, is one I can't stand. Waiting. How many like to wait? You say, okay, God, I know you have a plan and you have a promise, but it stinks and I feel stuck. So when you're confused, there's several things that you want. When I'm confused, you know what I want? Answers. I ask this three-letter word, why? Anybody done that? How's that work for you? You ever ask God why? And sometimes you get the response, why not? Like when I get to heaven, I've got a long list of whys. I'm going to go search out some people. Like number one, I'm going to find Noah. I'm going to say, couldn't you just smack those mosquitoes just once? Just get them out of the way, right? Don't you think that? And couldn't you just like drown the snakes? It would work for me, you know. Or what else? Don't you want to go find Adam and say, really, is there a belly button? Don't you want to know this? Anybody want to know these questions? I do. Or am I the only one that thinks about this stuff? You know, did God just go, boom, make one? Come on, think about it. All right? So that's just a little bit of humor. But you know what? The other thing that we do, we doubt. We doubt one person that I just talked about, Thomas. Thomas goes down in history as doubting Thomas because he saw the risen Lord and he said, let me put the finger in the hands. He said, all right. He goes, not good enough. Let me check that side out. Right? I got to tell you, he goes down as doubting. But if it was Jack going there, he would have been doubting Jack. Anybody with me there? I would have been like, nope, come here. We're going to see. I'm going to reach my hand in there. What was my birthday? I'm going to ask him all kinds of questions, right? Because I want to know. One of the third things that we often do, we often give up. Look at the disciples. Judas hung himself. Peter, from everything in Scripture we see, was a horrible fisherman, and he went back to it. And in days of confusion when we're waiting, a lot of times we feel alone and abandoned. You see, Jesus understands all this. So how do we do this? How do we get out of Saturday? We get out of Saturday by getting as close as we can to God. And how do we do that? It's through worship. Psalm 73 is written by Asaph. Asaph was not David. He was David's worship leader. And he writes this whole psalm here, and he's frustrated about he doesn't understand. And he says, when I tried to understand all this, how many of you tried to understand all this? It troubled me deeply until what? Until I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood the final destiny. You see, there is no confusion that his presence cannot calm. Day 3 is Sunday. It's a day of resurrection. A day of resurrection where dead things get brought to life. So what is this word? This word is winning. How many like to win? How many when you play board games, you might even cheat to win? How many? We like to win. You see, Friday was for battling. Saturday was for waiting. Sunday's coming, though. You might be in the midst of Friday. You might be in the midst of Saturday. But Sunday is coming with victory. And many of you, your lives are just one sunrise away from winning. So how do I get this? One word. How do I get this? One word. Jesus. Jesus. He's the only one that can take you there. John 11 says this. John 11 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, the resurrection is not something. It is a person. It is Jesus. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and does what? Believes in me shall never die. And then he finishes up with this. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? The goal is to get you to believe all this stuff. We know it, but do we believe it? Do we believe in resurrection power, or do we just talk about resurrection power? Because there is no death that his power cannot resurrect. You see, ultimately, Easter is not just about Jesus coming alive. Remember, I showed you that it was meant for you and your mortal bodies also, right? Easter is made for us to come alive in the dead areas that we have in our life. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus says this, I am he who lives and was dead. Isn't that cool? He was dead. That's what separates us. He was, all the other religions, their gods, you can go visit them. They're the people they follow, you can visit their tombs. They were dead, but he is not dead. He is alive. And look at this. I find a lot of humor in this verse. I am alive forevermore. Amen. He amens himself. He says, you ain't going to do it, I'm going to do it. Sometimes that's how I feel when I'm preaching. You ain't going to do it, I'm going to do it. Amen. Amen. There we go. Yeah, that's a little bit late. All right. So, but look how funny this is. He says, and I have the keys of Hades, hell, and death. Isn't this cool? Satan so defeated, he didn't have the keys to his own house. Isn't that awesome? Jesus went down and said, I will take your keys. Thank you very much. He is the landlord of hell. Aren't you glad? And what do keys do? They unlock things. And right now, there may be some of us that need our Fridays unlocked and our Saturdays unlocked so that we can celebrate and live in a winning atmosphere. Philippians chapter 3:10 says this, I want to know Christ. And, notice I put and there, and what? The power of his resurrection. You see, many of us may know Christ. If you go out today, you go to Walmart, you go to the grocery store, just if you're crazy, you want to walk out there, you go out there and you say, do you know Jesus? Somebody will tell you something about Jesus in our culture. But I will guarantee you, they'll even know that maybe today you celebrate it, and they may even talk about a resurrection. But I dare say many people outside these walls, and maybe even many people hearing the sound of my voice, don't know his resurrection power for themselves and in their lives. Because they're walking around in Friday and Saturday with nothing but death and confusion in their lives and pain. Paul says, I want to know Christ. He knew him pretty well when he penned this. He said, I want to know him better. And I want to know, I want every area of my life to be alive in him. You see, there are people here who may say, I love God, but my life is in ruins. I have no hope. And you may say, you don't know what I've done, and I'm never going to get back to where I was. And you know what? If you look up the term ruins, it's something that's reduced to a state of decay, collapse, or disintegration. I'm going to show you a picture up here. This is, anybody know what this is? Any golfers? Any Scotland golfers? St. Andrews. St. Andrews is a major golf place, one of the oldest in the world. And on the other side of St. Andrews, there is this St. Andrews Cathedral in Scotland. This was built in the 1200s. It was consecrated in 1380. That's a long time ago. Am I right? 60 years later, it burned to the ground. They rebuilt it. Something else happened, and it went to the ground. They had to rebuild it again. A couple years later, something else, it went to the ground, and they built it back up. Something else gutted it out until in the 1600s, they said, enough. We're not building it again. And the reason why I share this with you is because that's how I believe many of our lives are. That we've had something and Friday comes and just nails us to the ground. And so we take a lot of effort and we build it back up. And guess what? We get to a place where we start to feel good again. And boom, it nails it to the ground again. And then we go ahead and we struggle again. And then another part gets damaged. And we get to a point where we just say, I give up. I'm not doing it again. That's like many of our lives. I've tried to go ahead and make good choices, but I don't make them. So why try again? I've tried to use money better, and I'm still broke, so why bother? I've tried to work on my marriage, and guess what? It's still in the bad shape that it's in. So why bother? You may be students here, and you may say, I've tried to get good grades, but it's way too late now with all those F's I got, right? Right, teachers? Okay. We may be in that situation in our lives. And we may feel that there's something that's ruined in our lives. And what we find is there is things that are ruined in our lives except when you put resurrection power to it, when dead things come to life. You see, we have an invitation of newness of life and hope and restoration in Jesus. in my remaining time here with you today on this Easter Sunday, and I tell you, every year on Easter Sunday, I want to think. I want to think, what can I give them? Because, you know, we're going to talk about the resurrection. One year I said, I'm not talking about the resurrection just because I don't want to. That was all me, all right? I might have gone over like a lead balloon. I don't know. But it's like, what if that one person's coming in and needs to hear something, God? What if that one person needs to hear something that they may have heard for years, but today's the day they need to hear it? And I don't share it. So, God, I want to know what you want me to share. And I was taken to a verse of scripture where Jesus stood up in his own hometown, rolled out the scroll, and read from Isaiah. And it comes from this verse in Isaiah 61. And Jesus is in the temple, he rolls it out and he reads this, and it shows us a spiritual progression that I believe that God wants me to share with you as I wind this down today. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor," not financially poor, but spiritually poor. The good news is Jesus, he's paying the sins, and he says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to begin a process of healing, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes." God wants to take this situation, much like that verse that we opened up with. He wants to take that's going one way and flip it around. You see, when it was headed one way, it was about death and dying and destruction, wasn't it? But when Jesus flipped it around, it was about life. Look at what it says here. "The oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." Renew the ruined cities. How? How can this happen? I'm going to give you a list of a couple things. Number one, if you have areas of your life that are dying, I'm not super intelligent, but I want to share with you, stop dying. If there's areas of your life that are dying, stop it. Look at the person next to you and say, "Stop it." All right, there you go. One person did it. All right, somebody else might be dead. All right, so stop dying. If you are carrying your own stuff and it's killing you, and you're dying from that own stuff and that own weight of things, reverse the story. Do you feel the weightiness of the people sharing that video at the beginning? "I have no hope." And did you feel the joy of it going the other way around? Change the story. Change the story from death, from life to death, from death to life. You see, that's what Easter's about. It's about taking dead things and dead people and dead stuff in our lives and bringing life where it couldn't be. You know, it's a great story. I didn't pick it out, but has anybody ever heard or been to Death Valley? Anybody ever been there? Seen it? You know why it's called Death Valley? Nothing there. But you know, a couple years ago, they had some more rain than they ever could. And it happened in the wintertime, and when it came to the springtime, they had nothing but flowers all over the place. You see, what looked dead was alive. It just needed the right stuff. There are some of you in the sound of my voice that your walk with the Lord has been Death Valley, and you think it's dead and gone, but all you need is the water of the Holy Spirit to just water you and bring growth. So stop dying. C.S. Lewis said this: "Easter is death working backwards. Jesus is the only one that can take current decay and ruin and flip it into life, and flip it back into life." He says, as you look back in John chapter 11, He said to her, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he says, do you believe this? You need to ask yourself this question. Do you believe that he can bring life back to those dead areas? Number two, start rebuilding. Start rebuilding every year. Every year my hope is not to fill churches with the largest attendance or have large amounts of Haven Community churches around the world or to have large amount around the county or to have my name on billboards anywhere. Those days are all long gone for Jack Cohen, and I'm glad because they never were about God in the first place when I had those thoughts. My greatest hope is that God will use something in this service that will cause you to come back next week to say, I want to go on a journey. I want to go on a journey with God. I want to get real about this. I want to go ahead and do this. You see, the grace of God is not just to save you, because the grace of God will meet you where you are, but it will never leave you where it found you. God wants to take that person with the bad choices and make them alive and start rebuilding again. Number three, stop doubting. You know, sometimes in my life, I got to tell you, I had some doubts in my life. And I was doubting, can God really use Jack? Because, see, I know what I am. I know who I am. I know what I do. I know what I think. I know what I say. Can God really use me? When I was at West Virginia University, I got a D in communications. Let me say that for you again. I got a D in communications in West Virginia. Right? Now, if you're from West Virginia, sorry, I love it too myself, but yeehaw, right? I blame it on the fact that my roommate was from Boston, okay? And he said some odd things too. I've not ever been, particularly in those days, the most organized human being. I've always felt that I was Reverend Cohen's son or somebody, or Jill's brother, or Joanne's son, or somebody else. But the simple fact that I'm here today, and this church is in existence, and almost 25 years later, that I'm still doing this, shows that we serve an incredibly great God. Because, see, here's what you need to recognize. God sees greatness in me that I can't see in myself. He does the same thing for you. Those areas where you believe are dead, God sees spiritual redwoods. If you will just let him show you, he wants to love people who are saved and healed, but he wants you to discover your amazing purpose. And once you stop dying, start rebuilding, and stop doubting, you can do what this is all intended about. You can start living. You see, well, what is living, Jack? You see, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and abundantly, and I always thought it was like, whoa, bubbly. Like that little bubbler thing over there, right? The water over there. But I want to tell you what I really believe and understand from this message and from searching, what living really is. Living is taking your warped, addicted, broken, messed up life that God has restored and put it to singing, put it to praying, put it to teaching Sunday school to kids, put it to serving others at a parish foundation in the homeless, to leading in worship, to doing whatever God calls you to do. That's living. Living is the fact that God loves to take messed up things. If you don't believe me, read your scriptures. Every sucker in the scriptures is one messed up dude or lady. Everyone. And yet God took their brokenness and brought life. You see, this is passionate to me. Because in religion, it's not the case. You see, what religion does, and if I ask people about their experience with church, many times many people say that church consisted of being told how bad I am and I should repent and feel sorry about it. Repent, 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 repent. And there's a part of it, but that's not life. That's not the life that Christ gave to us. That's not what he said on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. Remember, we spent 6 weeks talking about what Jesus said. And he promised Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Because here's the simple fact, everybody. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He came to make the dead alive. And he said, if the children don't cry out, then the rocks will. And you know why he said that with the children? Because the people were dead and didn't cry out. I pray for a church and a church universal that realizes we're a bunch of dead people and that we need the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, ruined my life. And Jesus gave it back to me in an amazing way. My prayer is that these 3 days ruin your life in ways you never could imagine, that you can experience the fullness of life God has. Amen? Let's stand up and praise the Lord.
But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand.
I explained this, and the last thing that I just wanted to share with you is this. On the back of this, the next step in my spiritual journey, beginning a real relationship with God, and that's A, on the back here, experiencing faith, my faith in Jesus Christ. I want to be baptized the way Jesus baptized by my profession in him. The next one, that's B. The next one is learning more about becoming a member of Haven Community Church. Please send me information. And the last thing, I'd like to become part of a small group. And if nothing, don't worry about it. You don't have to fill it out, okay? But mostly, I just want you to go ahead and get new life in him. That's what Easter's about. Don't forget today when the clock turns 12 and goes to the next day. You still have resurrection power. Say happy Easter to someone. Happy Easter, everybody. God bless.